Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Sheriff Bob Johnson, the Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson, joins me now. Sheriff, welcome back to the show. Happy New Year.
Hey, good morning. Happy New Year.
Any incidents over the New Year or New Year's Eve? Had to arrest a whole bunch of people for their legal use of fireworks?
No, it was pretty quiet, actually. But I did remember something that occurred yesterday in the morning time. We had a shooting. And right now we have everybody that knows about it. We know all the parties. It was non-life-threatening. The guy got sent to Baptist, I think, with a bullet wound to the stomach. Oh. And right now it's looking like it possibly could be a stain to ground. So we're going to get everything together, send it to the state attorney, and let them decide what's going on. But I know it's going to shock you. Alcohol was involved.
No.
I know you're saying no. I know you are, but okay. Yep.
Well, whereabouts? Do you have a rough vicinity?
On Berry Hill.
On Berry Hill. Okay.
Yep.
And at this point, you think that it's a stained your ground, but it's not clear enough for you guys to make the call, so you're sending it to the SAO for them to figure out?
Correct. Yeah, okay. They'll make the call whether they want to prosecute him or not, and then we'll go from there.
Very good. This is... I almost feel dumb asking you this question, but it's been in the social media, you know, and like all things on social media, it's 100% true. I actually saw
that quote, you know, everything on social media is 100% true. And it was by Abraham Lincoln.
No, he was very, very knowledgeable about Instagram. He was a big, big user of the hashtag. So a couple of weeks ago, I had brought up to you the fact that these allegations about misconduct and malfeasance at the sheriff's office had been raised at a county commission meeting. The county commissioners, Colton Wright and Kerry Smith, I think, were the two of them who said, you know, hey, look, we love the sheriff, but we'd like to hear some, you know, effort to address this. And you at the time, I think, said you were planning on going to the meeting in January, which would be Thursday, the regular meeting, not the tomorrow morning, the Tuesday committee meeting. And since then, your comment that you're going to there on Thursday has been turned into, well, Sheriff Johnson obviously is going to be announcing his resignation. I'm like, I did the interview. That's not what it was about. And so can you please, are you resigning on Thursday, Sheriff?
No, I'm not. And, you know, this is all politically driven. All of it is. And, you know, it's so stupid to have to even go and address these issues. And everybody tune in. If you can't be at the meeting, tune in. You'll get to see me address all the issues that were brought up. And but no, I'm not resigning Thursday.
Are you sure? Because social media says you probably are.
Well, they're not just Thursday. There are a lot of days I'd love to resign and just say, hey, take a... Bye, see ya. But no, I'm not resigning Thursday.
You know, it's kind of just a follow question, not about you resigning, obviously. But how much trouble does social media make for you, your ballpark guess as a law enforcement officer? To what degree are the problems that you see that your officers have to deal with a byproduct of social media one way or another?
I'd say 70% probably.
Really?
Yeah, it's high. And as a sitting sheriff, you know, it's a pain in my you-know-what all the time. That's why, personally, I don't have Facebook. I don't have Instagram. I don't have any social media personally. Obviously, we have it at the sheriff's office, and that's bad enough sometimes. But, I don't deal with it. I don't, Facebook and all that, I have no time in my life for that.
Now, is the trouble because of actual crimes? I know the child predation stuff is obviously heavily dependent on social media or digital communications. But I also assume that part of it is that you have to respond to false information. You have to waste police officer resources, sheriff's resources in order to clarify things. But it's also helpful for solving crimes sometimes because dumb criminals post dumb things on social media, right?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. It helps us. But I tell you, it hampers a lot more investigations more than it helps them. Every once in a while, we do get lucky with some stuff online that we get, and we get to prosecute people with, but the majority of it is these anonymous, you know, 30-year-olds who live in the basement of their mom's house, never had a job, never done anything. This is what they do. They're keyboard warriors. And this is all they do 24/7 is sit on there and make up stuff or either try to exacerbate things like, you know, body cam videos. And it's just, you know, people with no lives, apparently.
Interesting. No, that I would not. I mean, that's I was surprised. I asked the question because I was curious, but 70%. So you're not obviously a policy guy. You don't have, you know, legislative power or whatever. But it sounds to me like if the world suddenly forgot social media existed and or it went away or got dramatically reduced, Sheriff wouldn't be too upset about that.
No, I would not. As a matter of fact, I would thought I died and went to heaven.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, very good. Sheriff Bob Johnson, that's all I have for you. Happy New Year. I'm glad to hear you're not retiring on Thursday. Well, I mean, obviously, we'll have to watch the meeting to make sure you follow through on your word that you're not retiring.
Because I may still do it. It depends on what happens between now and Thursday.
Hey, it's a lot of time. I mean, that's 72 hours. You got a lot of time between now and Thursday. Sheriff, thanks as always for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, take care, Andrew.
All right, 8:15 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents for reports or delays. It looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. But just remember that Palafox Street is temporarily closed. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
But you can walk.
You can walk.
All the sidewalks are open.
Yeah.
They're going to stay open. The shops are open. It's all good.
It's all good.
You can't drive there. Not anymore.
Paul Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. And the Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not. Regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh my God, I'm totally bugging.
I think there's a lot of questions about who the point people are during this transition. President Trump said, we're going to run the country. So is it you? Is it Secretary Hegseth? Who are those people who will be running the country specifically?
Well, it's not running, it's running policy. The policy with regards to this. We want Venezuela to move in a certain direction because not only do we think it's good for the people of Venezuela, it's in our national interest. It either touches on something that's a threat to our national security or touches on something that's either beneficial or harmful.
And are you involved in that transition,
Secretary? So obviously I'm very involved in this. Well, of course, I mean, I think everyone knows I'm pretty involved on politics in this hemisphere.
Absolutely. It was one of the great strengths that he had as a senator, certainly as a son of Cubans. And right. All of a sudden I said, this is one of the funny things about talking on the radio is, you know something good enough for casual conversation. And all of a sudden you say it on the radio, you're like, I'm 95% sure that's true. I want to go check. But yeah, his expertise is foreign policy, particularly, American hemisphere or Western hemisphere, Central and Southern America, foreign policy. It's one of the reasons I liked him I voted for him as a candidate. He was my guy. And then it's kind of funny that the people who say I'm a never Trumper, I voted for Trump 3 times for president. I never voted for him in the primary. But I mean, okay. so there you go. I voted for DeSantis and Rubio, if you must know.
You finally admitted it.
Well, now everybody knows. I've always said that. I've never been shy about who I voted for. I mean, 820 on News Radio 92.3, 437-1620. Weigh in. Tell me your thoughts. How are you feeling about the, capturing of the president of Venezuela, about, bringing him back here and making him wear that funny winter cap as he's getting paraded through the DEA offices, or whatever, what you think about a future, the oil company stuff. I've said this before, that I find a lot of that to be either concerning and or illegal, but we'll see. It hasn't happened yet. An actual invasion I don't think is coming, just kind of a threat. But the question about who's running Venezuela, it's a fair question, right, that she's asking him. It's a fair question. Also about elections, and his answer is, well, dude, we just took him. Give it a minute.
How soon will elections be held? Within 30 days, Mr. Secretary?
Elections? Well, look, and this is a country that's been governed by this regime now for 14 or 15 years. The elections should have happened a long time ago. The elections did happen. They lost them, and they didn't count the votes, or they refused to count the votes, and everyone knows it. So all of that, I think, is premature at this point.
Right. That's exactly right, okay? He says that the boat seizures and strikes will continue, and the embargo will continue until we see changes. So that's not military intervention, although it is military thwarting, and certainly you're killing people on these drug boats, but seizing the oil tankers and all of that.
The Department of Justice, dating back in the Biden administration, that had a $25 million reward for his capture. So we have a reward for his capture, but we're not going to enforce it. That's the difference between President Trump and everybody else. It's easy to make a wanted poster and say $50 million for the capture of Maduro, but no one takes that seriously because you're not going to do anything about it. President Trump did something about it.
Let me ask
you. He did something about it. We went in, we grabbed him, he was arrested, and he's now in New York. No Americans were killed, no equipment was lost. It had to be done, and it's been done. And I assure you, the people left behind in Venezuela now that are in charge of the police and everything else, I assure you, they're going to probably be a lot more compliant than Maduro was as a result of this.
I would genuinely be curious to know what the price tag of the operation was. I'm assuming it's substantially more than $50 million, okay? But I'd be curious to know. I really don't know what it would. And, of course, you'd have to kind of include the pre-mobilization stuff and all that. But, if we were going to spend $50 million if somebody else brought him, as opposed to if we spend whatever money we get to. I mean, he's right. There's a philosophical disconnect if you say we can put the reward out, but we won't spend our own money to actually make it happen.
The question is, I guess, if the purpose of the operation was to capture Maduro and bring him to justice, why does the United States need to take over the Venezuelan oil industry?
Okay, Kristen Welker is not a superstar, but this is a superstar question. This is a brilliant question. I don't know whether she came up with it or one of her, producers or whatever came up with, but if it's all about Maduro and Maduro's narco-terrorism and Maduro's not being elected legitimately and Maduro is facilitating foreign nationals and terrorist organizations and facilitating oil to Cuba, and if Maduro, then why after he's gone do we need to run the country? That's a great question. And there ought to be a good answer for that question.
Well, we don't need to. First of all, let me go back up. We don't need Venezuela's oil. We have plenty of oil in the United States. What we're not going to allow is for the oil industry in Venezuela to be controlled by adversaries of the United States. You have to understand, why does China need their oil? Why does Russia need their oil? Why does Iran need their oil?
Right.
They're not even in this continent. This is the Western Hemisphere. This is where we live. And we're not going to allow the Western Hemisphere to be a base of operation for adversaries, competitors, and rivals of the United States.
Have specific oil.
So that's a Monroe Doctrine answer. That's a, this is our hemisphere. We're not going to allow them to operate here.
U.S. regime change, historically speaking, has not gone very well for the United States. In Iraq, in Libya, to name a few examples, can you assure Americans, the people of the United States, that this time will be different?
Well, here's what's happened. We've got this phobia built up and this sort of thing that's psyche. Number one, most of the experts that people have on television, I watch these experts and it's clown hour. Okay, these are people that have focused their entire career on the Middle East or some other part of the world because that's where all the action was. They, very few of them know anything about Venezuela or the Western Hemisphere. Venezuela looks nothing like Libya. It looks nothing like Iraq. It looks nothing like Afghanistan. It looks nothing like the Middle East other than the Iranian agents that are running through their plotting against America. Okay, these are Western countries with long traditions among their, at a people-to-people and cultural level and ties to the United States. So there's nothing like that. So I think people need to stop ascribing the apples and oranges here, the apples of the Middle East to the oranges of the Western Hemisphere.
You know, that's a really interesting note, that the people you're seeing make these pronouncements about nation building or restoring freedom, democracy, open elections in Venezuela, with the example of failed nation building efforts in other countries, you know, Afghanistan, Iraq, whatever, other places in the Middle East, he's right. They are different. Middle East and Africa are different, and Asia is different than, you know, Latin America, Southern America. Those they are different. And understanding that difference is important. Language is different. Politics is different. Religion is different. The history is different. That, I mean, it's just, it's an interesting note coming from a guy who is genuinely an expert on, you know, the Western Hemisphere, talking about all of these pronouncements coming from people who have basically built their resume on being experts about the Middle East, where that stuff doesn't really apply. Interesting note. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives. John?
Brought to you by Princeton Grove Apartments. It's a new affordable housing community in Crestview. Introductory rates and no application fee. Resort-style living awaits. That's Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. Still rolling accident-free, even delay-free. Everything is looking good, except for Palo Fox Street is temporarily closed for traffic, but you can still walk the sidewalks and go to all the businesses. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Let's get Steve in here for a quick headlines for us before we come back to Marco Rubio's comments yesterday. Steve?
Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro was in a New York courthouse today ahead of his appearance this afternoon inside the courthouse. He's expected to be arraigned later on federal drug trafficking charges. Arraignment is set for today for three of the four people arrested in connection with an alleged New Year's Eve terrorism plot targeting locations in Southern California. The suspects are each charged with conspiracy and possession of unregistered destructive devices, and that's what's happening.
All right, thanks so much, Steve. Back to the comments by Marco Rubio yesterday on Meet the Press. He was on Face the Nation, but Margaret Brennan did a terrible job of asking interesting questions. I don't get to say it a lot, but Christian Welker did a much better job of asking good questions, like about congressional approval, which they did not get before this.
This was not an action that this was not an action that required congressional approval. In fact, it couldn't require congressional approval because this was not an invasion. This is not an extended military operation. This is a very precise operation that involved a couple of hours of action. It was a very delicate operation, too. It was one that required all these conditions to be in place at the right time in the right place. You couldn't afford leaks. We couldn't afford anything out there that would have endangered the mission and gotten people killed or killed off the mission and the optionality. We didn't even know if the mission was going to happen. How can you notify something you're not even sure if it can happen?
I would say Congress leaks like a wiffle ball, which means saying it leaks is like not understanding what it is. It's just to say Congress is going to keep information. Now, the Intelligence Committee, the Gang of Eight, are better at that. But as he said, and it was kind of made clear that a lot of this was like ready to go, maybe as I've read 7 to 10 days ahead of time. And they were just kind of waiting for the weather to be just right. And so, you know, getting advance approval or notification, and the longer you wait, the more it jeopardizes things. I actually don't have a problem with them not notifying Congress in advance. This doesn't bother me. Other things it would, you know, other things it would. But you got, everything has to be evaluated on its own terms.
This was not an attack on Venezuela. This was a law enforcement function to capture an indicted drug trafficker. And of course, we needed the Department of War to support it because they do have anti-aircraft missiles that could shoot down those helicopters.
But will you?
We had to take down radars. We had to take down those anti-air elements on the way in and on the way out. And that's what this was limited to.
And she goes on to ask the natural follow-up.
But will you seek congressional approval for any further action in Venezuela or the region?
Well, we will seek congressional approval for actions that require congressional approval. But otherwise, they will get congressional notification.
Yeah. I mean, we'll do it if we have to. And if we don't, we won't. Unless we feel like being nice. And, I mean, just, this is a silly thing. But, you know, Rubio was a senator. He knows what the rules are. He will advise the president. Now, of course, the president is not always eager to be told no. But, you know, he knows. He'll advise the president. And frankly, I see a lot of this as not just Trump acting, but Trump being willing to put the kind of the Teddy Roosevelt big stick behind the foreign policy that is heavily informed by Marco Rubio. When it comes to this hemisphere, I don't know. This makes me very comfortable, frankly. I don't know what the future holds. There are a lot of things I would object to. But so far, I'm kind of optimistic about the outcomes here.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. By chopper and armored vehicle, a tour of New York as illegitimate Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and wife Celia are delivered for American justice from a Brooklyn lockup to Manhattan federal court.
Maduro captured in that daring raid ordered by President Trump is set to face charges that he ran a multi-billion-dollar drug operation with the cartels and others that flooded our country with hundreds of tons of cocaine over two decades.
Fox's Eric Shawn. As War Secretary Pete Hegseth and Secretary State Marco Rubio briefed senators about the pinpoint U.S. military capture of Maduro, Senator John Fetterman tells Fox.
Positive, and I can't just condemn it just because I happen to be a Democrat.
Amid the Minnesota Somali fraud scandal, Democrat Governor Tim Walz announces he will not run for re-election as governor. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 right now, 53 degrees and partly sunny. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. Downtown Pensacola is counting on two major undertakings this year. The reimagined Palafox construction project launched today, upgrading sidewalks, landscaping, and street safety along with the city's entertainment hub through July. At the same time, Gallery Night is adapting its beloved monthly celebration with a redesigned footprint to keep the event thriving through the construction. The city says sidewalks and shops will stay accessible during the work, and the organizers are confident they can maintain Gallery Night's energy across multiple downtown locations. The reimagined Palafox project is already causing some hardship for some of the downtown workers. Zachary Donaldson says his boss told him to find work elsewhere because of the shutdown.
I wouldn't be surprised if at least a few businesses were to close down altogether because they can't. You know, they can't afford to stay open during the shutdown.
He's worried about his friends and restaurants and bars along Palafox. Milton resident Greg Penglis is looking forward to a more walkable downtown.
If they can improve it, make it better, make it more walkable, more accessible, more bike lanes, more maybe like locking things for bikes, different like tours, like Segway tours or different things like that around here to bring more people down here, that'd be the best thing they could do.
And note that even though Palafox is closed, the sidewalks are open to access all the businesses along the street. And while we're on the subject of downtown, Mardi Gras season is officially now rolling in Pensacola. Last Saturday night, hundreds of crew members gathered downtown for the annual blessing of the floats, bringing nearly 40 parade floats to Palafox, Jefferson, and Romana streets. Crew members say they are excited for another year of good times. Amy Fitzgerald told Channel 3.
I think if you get the crews involved, the crews do a ton of charity work, they network throughout the community. You get the crews involved, the community will come.
But there's one thing that'll be different this year. Parade routes are shifting. The $10 million Palafox reimagining project is going to affect the routes. The routes are now going to start for the parades on Garden Street and wrap around Wright Street. Despite the construction, crews say they don't expect to affect the festivities that are going to be happening this spring. A 29-year-old Bruton male pedestrian seriously injured after being struck by a pickup truck in Santa Rosa County last night. Troopers say the accident occurred at 8:27 p.m. on Munson Highway at Indian Ford Road when the man was walking along the road edge with the flow of traffic, and he was struck by a black Ford F-350 pickup truck driven by a 20-year-old Baker man. The pedestrian sustained serious injuries and was flown to Sacred Heart Hospital in Pensacola for treatment. That's according to the Florida Highway Patrol. A 2-year-old Fort Worth girl who was riding as a passenger in that pickup suffered some minor injuries. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We are going to be looking at some lovely weather for this Monday. Temperatures around 67 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. As you head into Tuesday, mostly cloudy skies, high near 72. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 62 degrees. Heading into Wednesday, still keeping that nice forecast around with partly sunny skies, high near 73. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Let's check in with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free, even delay-free. Just remember that Palafox Street is closed to traffic, but you can still walk and enjoy the businesses there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks, John. Right now, sun is out. It is beautiful outside. 54 in Pensacola, 53 in Gulf Breeze, and 51 in Milton right now at 8:35. Next news is at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. And now let's check out what's happening on Wall Street. This is Your Money Now on News Radio 92.3. Well, it looks like average gas prices across the U.S. are still under $3 a gallon as we start the first full week of 2026. AAA puts the average cost of a gallon of gas at $2.81 a gallon today. That's all across the country. The most expensive gas, though, is in Hawaii at $4.40, while the cheapest can be found in Oklahoma at $2.21. Now checking the Dow Jones, it looks like at the opening bell, it's at 48,540, up 0.33%. S&P 500 is up 0.59% at 6,898. And that NASDAQ also is in the positive zone at up 0.80%, and that's at 23,421. And that's what's happening in Wall Street. This is Your Money Now on News Radio 92.3.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care. Tomorrow at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, I got one that's a little bit niche for the cooks, but it's okay. I'm going to ask it anyway because it's my show. I'm going to do what I want for now. You know, as I was telling my boys over the weekend, I'm like, you know, the thing about my job, I have total freedom. I can do anything I want on my last day. So that's what my boss, Kevin, always says. He's like, Andrew, you can do that, especially on your last day. So
that's not good.
That's a way of reminding me, you know, I'm to a point. Okay, so question is, how are your spices in the kitchen organized? Talk to me about spice organization. 437-1620. Tell me what you do. Tell me what you really, really do. Music joke. Anyway, it's not a funny one, obviously. So 437-1620. You know who was the master of that? Johnny Carson was always the master of it. It's either funny or it's funny by making fun of it not being funny, right? Either way. Okay, so John, talk to me about your spice drawer, rack, out on the counter, shelves, alphabetical, by type, by popularity. How do you organize your spices?
I don't. I'm just lucky to find them sometimes. But she puts them in the freezer.
What now?
She puts the spices in the freezer. She'll have to explain it to you.
Like the regular ones that you use all the time? You have to go into the freezer to get the thyme is in the freezer?
Yeah.
And the cumin is in the freezer?
I guess. I just know that some of them are in the freezer. Our rubs and stuff are in the freezer.
Well, that's...
I don't ask questions.
That's something I'd not heard of before, so I'm... That's why I like these questions.
I thought it was a Midwest thing that she would know about.
Nobody in the Midwest does that, except your sweetie, who is wonderful. Talisha, if you're listening, we love you. But 437-1620. All right, switching gears now, Meg.
Spice, baby.
No, nice. Is that going to be? I suppose our secondary conversation point is what kind of puns can you make with music? All right, so go ahead.
Okay, I couldn't help it.
Yeah, it's fine. No, I don't disagree.
For me, I have the organization of no organization. So in other words, whatever spice was used last is up front.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a little spin, one of those little spin things.
Like a little, not a Lazy Susan exactly, but a carousel that kind of holds a bunch of them.
Yeah, and you just put the spices on that, and then I can just spin it around for whichever one I need.
So you have a circular zone?
It's like a little circular plate. I don't know what you would call
it. Is it in a cabinet or is it out on the counter?
Tall? No, it's not tall. It's just on the it's in the cabinet, but it's on the
Is it a square? Do you have you ever have like a spice that zings off the back end into the corner and you have to go fetch it?
No.
Okay. Anyway,
I'm not
back
spinning
to
it that fast.
Well, you should. I mean, that's fun. Okay.
No. But so for example, so what's up front right now would be cinnamon, pumpkin spice, things I've just used recently for the holidays. And then as I spin it around, and in the back, you're going to find Italian oregano and other things that I might have used for an Italian marinara sauce or something. So it just kind of, I can spin it as
I need it. One spice deep, or is it multiple spices deep? Like things get pushed to the back because they're not in the front because things went in the front. Or is it?
Probably about two spices deep.
Okay, so this isn't going to shock almost nobody, I would think. But I'm going to, actually, Meg, let me ask you the question.
Yes.
How are my spices organized?
Fine.
How well do you know me?
Don't worry about it.
John, I'm sure John knows the answer.
Since you're sort of a person of extremes, my thought is it's either just neurotically organized and alphabetized. Or it's complete chaos. And then,
But you're not going to pick which one it is?
No.
John, you want to take a stab at this, John?
Oh, it's alphabetical and it's,
And probably
he writes, the lines on it. That way he knows.
Well, my other thought
is
there's expiration dates on spices.
Because
I've had spices that have probably been there for, any bay leaves have probably been in there 100 years.
Bay leaf's good for 100 years. It's fine.
But I'm just thinking that they're, the minute it goes out and it expires, it's out.
For me?
Yeah. Goodbye.
Wow.
You probably wrote it on the lid.
You guys
too are
like completely wrong. I love it. I love that you're so...
Well, I gave two choices.
Yeah, but you hemmed and hawed. But okay, so first of all, expiration dates mean nothing to me. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Expiration dates mean nothing to me, so wrong.
Milk,
John?
Sir?
Completely wrong. You had it right in your first guess, which is you and I are almost exactly alike. The only difference is I have no order whatsoever. The only difference is...
You
the things,
don't?
The things I use all... Yes, of course.
What?
Come on.
I know, I'm just...
That'd be my wife. I'd be the engineer who would try to create order. And she does routinely ask me, so I see that you're having trouble finding that. Would you like something that would organize them better? No, this is part of the fun, is pawing through all of the spices to find the right one. But no, it's definitely, as you said, whatever got used last is in front.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple, cinnamon, pepper, sugar, seasoned salt, are on a little, on the door of the cabinet.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because they do get used all the time.
Right.
But everything else is just you push it. I literally use the door when I close it to push the spices back into their position.
Do you keep your salt and pepper in the cabinet? Because my salt and pepper's right on the stove.
No,
I just keep it out.
No.
I keep it out.
No clutter on the stove as much as possible. But
well, that's all. It's not clutter. It's just salt and pepper.
Stuff I'll use. Yeah.
It can be clutter and stuff you use.
Well, I wouldn't call two things of a salt and a pepper shaker clutter.
It's clutter.
Wow.
437-1620. The gripping question on everybody's mind, how do you organize your spices? Because, again, I think the range here is, you guys have covered it properly, although I had not included the frozen one. But the range is from people who are meticulous, that every spice in its place and every place for its spice.
Mm-hmm.
And those people probably have it organized.
And a spice rack. My mother used to have
a rack,
spice
exactly,
rack that was alphabetized.
Either alphabetized or perhaps by genre. perhaps, but in such a way that they know where the marjoram goes mm-hmm. and they know where the cream of tartar goes. And for me, the cream of tartar goes underneath, I don't know, the allspice, if the allspice got used last, because those are little containers and they stack. So 437 1620. All right, let's go to a couple of these texts. How do you organize your spices? That's the question of the day. Let's see. The freezing keeps the moisture out. Oh, this is Talisha texting in.
I don't ask questions.
How does the freezer keep the moisture out of them? The moisture is in the container when you freeze them, and so the moisture is in the container when they're frozen, and it's in the container when you take it back out. I'm confused.
I'm staying out of it.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
I don't ask questions.
Somebody says, the ones I use the most are on the counter. The others are in the cupboard waiting for their turn to be called forth.
called forth, I love it.
It's like the spice guard units. They're on reserve waiting to be called up.
Yeah, you know what else I use is I put the vanilla extract. The little extract bottles go with the spices too.
Okay, yeah, well, yeah. So I mean,
I don't know where other people put their...
Might do it a little differently. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. John Pickens has traffic on the fives, John.
That's right. No accidents.
I don't know where else you would
let
put
you
it.
Know well, about.
The vanilla definitely goes with the spices.
Okay,
right
good.
Now, nothing.
Sorry, John, you want to try again?
Yeah, no accidents to tell you about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, 2990, 98 are all flowing smoothly. Just remember, Palo Fox is temporarily closed to traffic, but you can still walk along the sidewalks.
And there's bunches of free parking. Bunches of free parking.
Bunches.
You know, interesting note. For whatever reason, I hadn't realized it till this morning. I was looking at the newpalofox.com. That's the website the city's put up. I mean, it's a duh, but we've been so focused on the 5 months of Palo Fox being closed that I hadn't even thought about the phase two, which is the side streets, Intendencia, Government, Romana, Zaragoza. Once Palo Fox is done, then the side streets are going to have to be done too. But that's a second phase that starts later in, you know, like May, and that'll go through like December or whatever. So I just hadn't been thinking about that at all. Hey, if you are 64 turning 65, or you're retiring, or you just have questions about Medicare, what it means, what is prescription, what is supplement, what is Advantage, what is Medicaid, do I qualify for Medicaid? Why is one called Medicare and one called Medicaid? They seem so similar. Yes, all of that. Great. Ask my good friend Ricky Stewart. Her whole family does insurance. She does this one part. She handles Medicare particular things, and she'll help you all year round, not just at open enrollment. So she's always there. She's a person. She's smart. She's sweet. You'll love her. But just sit down and talk with her. So many people who listen to us have done this, absolutely have done this. So give her a call. 341-2185 is her number. Look her up online, insuredbyricky.com. Ricky Stewart Insurance. If I were 64, I would definitely be calling her to talk about this stuff. Okay, back to the question of the day, which is how do you organize your spice racks? Now, I will say the one thing that tempts me to organize them better. I'll tell you the thing that tempts me and the thing that does not, that anti-tempts me. The thing that tempts me is all the times that I have pawed through them looking for something and wasted time looking for something. And I thought I had one of those, and then I don't. And I keep looking and looking and looking, and my wife's like, well, how long are you going to look? Or she'll say from the other room, what are you looking for that you've lost? Which is usually followed up at some subsequent time. Not immediately. She's smart. Hey, I was looking at spice racks the other day. Would you like me to get...
Oh,
now,
my goodness.
obviously, I can never change my organizational pattern because that would be to admit that she's right about this. And, you know, in a marriage that lasts 28 years...
Just take the L and move on.
You're going to have some things that you concede on right away. And you're going to have some things that, you know, you keep to maintain your independence about. And I feel fairly confident that at some point in the distant future, I'm going to have to give up my spice independence. I just think it's coming. 437-1620. We got puns coming. Mm-hmm. Warning, we got puns coming. Somebody says I keep as many as possible in the refrigerator. Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Let's see. Somebody says, semi-chaos in the cabinet above the stove. The most frequently used spices are always located in the front. There you go. If you really want to know, they're alphabetized on a turntable in the cabinet. Alphabetized. All right. I see you. That's acceptable. Organized by limitations of container fit in the pantry. Okay, so by size. Otherwise, it's kind of clustered by cuisine. Oh, okay. So you're like Indian spices are next to your mm-hmm. Vietnamese or next to your Italian or whatever, which are a lot of those kind of overlap a lot. So the Cajun, Italian, Asian, Latin items roughly live together. Oh, it's like you have burrows. You have like little spice burrows in your cabinet. You know, this is the Queens of my spice cabinet, and this mm-hmm. is the Chinatown.
Nice.
Thank you. As a former New Yorker, do you accept my analogy?
I'm not sure.
All right. Fair enough. Well, and then there's some people who kind of live on the border, and they kind of inhabit both areas, and, you know, they go back and forth.
Oh, goodness.
Somebody says, I would have to answer yes alphabetically in a spice rack, dumped in a drawer. Oh, drawer people.
Ooh. That would be hard for me.
I think there are drawer people, though. And I'll
tell
you.
But they may only have two or three, though.
No. No, the advantage of the drawer is if they're laying down, like, they're laid down.
So you can see the labels?
Yes. And you can actually, it's a pretty good organizational structure because they open up like your Matchbox cars.
Why do I have the feeling that a drawer person just throws it in the drawer?
Like the junk drawer or like
yes.
the utensils drawer or whatever.
Yes.
You know, not the utensils, but the
That's
spatulas
what I'm
drawer.
But I could be wrong.
Okay, no, fair enough. But then you got to like orient them the right way so you can see them, I would think.
You would.
Do they
and
ever
then
leak?
They roll.
Do they leak out? Do yeah. they roll around? I mean, if they're not exactly tight in there, do you
That's
have a
what
device
I'm saying.
Inside?
I don't think a drawer person alphabetized. I think they throw it in the drawer. That's it. Andrew, you could not do that, but it's okay.
I'm waiting for the person who says, you know what I have? I have a cardboard box, and they're under the under the counter, under the sink, and I just throw them in there when I'm done. Like, I'm waiting for that level of commitment to anarchy. You know, some libertarian, probably Larry Downs Jr., that's how he does it. You know, like, that's no order. Total freedom. I have a large drawer lined with no-slip mats, and they are alphabetical, laying on their sides where I can
wow.
read them. There it is.
That's very
exactly
smart,
it.
Actually.
Come on, Andrew. Ain't nobody got time for this.
Yeah, wow. Mm-hmm.
Is that Alex? That Alex had texted me on that one. let's see. Tell Meg to stop arguing. It is clutter. That's funny. I like it when she argues. That makes it fun. $1 million idea for you guys this morning. Automated spice rack system, which delivers desired spice via voice command. Oh,
yes.
John would love it. I would hate it. I'm not waiting for that. I'd rather paw through them and find it myself. Plus,
why?
I'm not trusting my spice to the Terminators. So I don't need Skynet
well, if
spice.
If you put it in there correctly, then you're good.
That's the other problem. That depends on me putting it back in the right place.
Right.
Mm. I have hidden them in a cabinet, shoved together until I need one I can't find, and then I pull them all out and look at them all. Putting the spice in the freezer prevents the oils in them from spoiling, supposedly. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. All right. Learn something.
Andrew, do you have duplicate spices? Have you ever gone to the store when you have a recipe and you say, oh, I better get that spice, and then you come back and you've got two things of it?
I don't need to answer this question. It's like asking me if I've ever bought the same book more than once. You don't need to ask me that question. Of course!
Have you? Oh.
But there okay. I mean, in defense, there are some spices where you use them enough, it's dumb to buy just one. You buy like four or five at a time. It's like what we use. Oh my God, in my house, we use so much cumin. So much. Or cinnamon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, three racks for the cabinet, one rack for frequently use on the fridge. Oh, outside the fridge, like a magnetic. Yeah, interesting. I'm learning a lot of things this morning. I organize my spices by genre. This is your son. I find it more practical to group them by how they're used, like baking spices together, savory spices together, and blends in one spot so I can grab what I need quickly when I'm cooking. Smart. I would never do it, but smart. Google, which should always be believed, says dry spices should not be frozen. Oh, okay. Spice and storage is a contentious topic in our house. I knew it. But especially baking spices are in the drawer. Everyday spices are on a multi-tiered shelf in the cupboard. Popular ones are up front. Extras and low use are in the rear. So I love it. I love that answer. Spice drawer next to the stove, and it's got little wooden partitions in it so that they're kept like a shadow box on the wall, but kept, you know, horizontally in a drawer. And then I'm getting another. Oh, this gives me the fits, though. Meg, come over here and look at this for a second. Come over here. Here you go. This is the drawer that you imagine. It's a drawer of spices where they're all, there's like one row that are all organized and the rest are just thrown in there like the spatulas and the scrapers.
But you can see the labels. They're turned up so you can actually see. I mean, yeah. I like that kind. That could work for me.
That gives me the heebie-jeebies. So, yeah, we'll just move on. All right, there you go. Hey, spicy topic.
Do you have questions regarding your plants and landscaping? If so, The Garden Line is for you. I am Mike Wiggins, and every Tuesday morning at 9, we are here for you on News Radio 92.3 to answer your questions. Seasonal changes call for different activities in your lawn and garden, so tune in and text or call with your questions on The Garden Line on Tuesdays at 9 and an encore each Saturday at the same time.
The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Tuesdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Oh, how's that flu, babe? Did you take DayQuil Intense Flu yet?
Nah, I got this. Ugh, okay, I don't got this.
You stay on the couch, and I'll grab the DayQuil.
Undo your flu symptoms with DayQuil Intense Flu. DayQuil Intense Flu provides powerful relief of your flu symptoms.
I'm ready for that to-do list.
Wow, you do got this.
DayQuil Intense Flu. The daytime coughing, aching, fever, under your flu, medicine. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Who the hell are you?
I'm Owen's friend.
Owen doesn't have a friend.
That's because he's shy.
No, he's not. He's fat and he's stupid.
Whoa, baby, you're a nag. You're a nag. You're a nag.
I maintain to this day that Throw Mama from the Train itself is not that great of a movie, but the mom character and her lines are fantastic. They're really good. 8:55 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, I got follow-up texts on the Spice thing. It's so funny. People are so eager to participate, and including our good friend Craig Heinzman, who said, I have two bins of completely disorganized spices. It's the only, I just throw them in the box like you said. It's the one source of disorder in my life where I need anarchy to have an outlet. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free, even delay-free right now. I'm not seeing anything that's going to slow you down, except for Palafox Street is temporarily closed to traffic, but you can still have fun and walk on the sidewalks. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Pete Hegseth was also in this announcement, of course, on Saturday when they talked about the very targeted, specific extraction of Maduro, which, you know, one of the things that's been said along the way is, and I think it's a good point, is that it's not nobody died. I mean, we had deaths among the Venezuelans. We had military deaths in the Venezuelans. We had civilians killed in the Venezuelans. At least we think we do. I think that's a reasonable thought. We tried everything we could to reduce the deaths for civilians, but definitely there were militants who were killed, and most likely there would have been some civilians who were killed. So it's not that there was nobody killed. And, of course, we care the most about our people, but we should also care about all people. And, well, you know, sometimes taking a dictator, you know, out of his place is going to involve that. We understand that. Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, had comments on Saturday.
Nicolas Maduro had his chance, just like Iran had their chance. Until they didn't, and until he didn't. He effed around, and he found out.
I should have been expecting him to say that. I wasn't expecting him to say that. But that has been, you know, the kind of chest-thumpy kind of attitude. And, you know, that's right. That's basically what happened. He wouldn't surrender. As Marco Rubio said many times, we worked with him and worked with him and worked with him and tried to find a way, and he would just wouldn't, and he kept stringing us along. And his whole modus operandi was, you know, to delay, obfuscate, you know, which is what a lot of dictators do. You know, they try to stretch things out, and they play this game of, we're going to do this, we're not going to do this, we comply, we don't comply, we secretly violate the agreements, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, at some point, you know, as Rubio said, he tried to play big boy, and he found out that he wasn't.
President Trump is deadly serious about stopping the flow of gangs and violence to our country. Deadly serious about stopping the flow of drugs and poison to our people. Deadly serious about getting back the oil that was stolen from us. And deadly serious about reestablishing American deterrence and dominance in the Western Hemisphere.
The only part of that I disagree with is there wasn't oil stolen. The right way to say this is that the mining rights or the drilling rights were revoked or nationalized, that the oil itself, the oil doesn't belong to the company until they pull it out of the ground. What they have is a right of access. So the idea that they stole oil is really, I know I'm quibbling a little bit, but it is important to get some of these details right because, you know, the foreign policy needs to be informed by the facts. Always start with the facts. And I know if you haven't listened all day, you might be wondering, you know, well, Andrew, this is a pretty quick treatment of a pretty complicated subject. Yeah. John, how long have we talked about this today?
Oh, since 5 a.m.
We've had three topics today. Four. We had the Pal Fox being closed for 5 months, although you can walk, of course, to all your shops. We had the California Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals panel declared that their prohibition on open carry is unconstitutional, which I think is going to be the law of the land for the entire United States. It's going to be open carry everywhere based on the Supreme Court. We had the frivolous topic about spices, and everything else has been Venezuela. So if you missed it, go back and listen. We spent a lot of time talking about a lot of the nuances. What is the Monroe Doctrine? What would be legal? What is illegal? Played a lot of audio from folks. So because this is the one story. This is the one story, and I want you to understand it. I want you to be fully informed when you go to work and talk with your friends or just think about this stuff on your own. Thank you so much for listening. Meg's up next with Pep
Talk. Local Talk.